then, mokshaha does not directly mean happiness. Mokshaha indirectly implies happiness. And what is happiness? It is not a pleasure. It is not a time-bound pleasure. It is not a state of mind which is opposed to... Look at this. Pleasure is opposed to pain. But happiness is not opposed to anything. This is how you differentiate pleasure and happiness. Pleasure is opposed to pain means what? When there is pleasure, there cannot be pain. Therefore, pleasure is opposed to pain. Whereas happiness is not opposed to anything. Therefore, happiness is what? Is not a state of mind. Then what is happiness then? What happiness is? It is swarupam. What is that happiness? That is what is wanted. That is what is sought. Choicelessly sought by every human mind. Okay? And that is... Therefore, this happiness happens to be sought after by every human mind choicelessly. Happiness becomes what? Choiceless ultimate end, which is otherwise called moksha. And that happiness happens to be very swarupam of the reality. Knowledge of the reality itself is knowledge of swarup, happiness. Therefore, knowledge is inevitable. Okay? Therefore, we say, but that knowledge needs... Antakarna Shuddhi and Naischalyam. And for Antakarna Shuddhi and Naischalyam, one has to live a life of Karma Yoga. That means, therefore, we say anything which contributes for knowledge, prepares the mind for knowledge. How does any action contribute for knowledge? Action does not produce knowledge. Understand, action prepares the mind for knowledge. A preparedness in terms of mental purity and mental steadiness. Understand, therefore yoga means anything which prepares the mind for knowledge is yogaha. And here we say, karma yogaha, when you say, the very karma you do, that is why any exercise, yoga asanam is a physical activity, pranayama is a breathing exercise again, an exercise, an activity. Understand? Japaha is either manasam karma or oral activity or a mental activity. And with worshipping the Lord again, you know, you express whatever your karma you do, it becomes an action. Singing in praise of the Lord again an action. Reciting verses again is an action. Which is not an action? So any action you do, suppose whatever action you do, even to earn a day-to-day livelihood, that's also what? An action. So any action you do can contribute for the mental preparedness or need not contribute for mental preparedness. Still karma produces phalam. Any karma definitely produces phalam, whether it contributes for mental preparedness or not. But here, if a karma along with producing a phalam, if it also contributes for preparing the mind for knowledge, then it becomes yoga. Understand? Then that's what is yoga. So karma yoga, that is why karma yoga is emphasized here. Because moksha is a choiceless end, and that moksha is nothing but discovering what happiness is, which implies discovering the very reality. The discovery of reality needs, now happens to be discovered only in the mind, subtlest of the manifestations, as the very truth of the mind, as the very existence of the mind. Therefore, the mind has to become pure and steady. No other go. And for that mental purity and steadiness, one has to choicelessly live a life of karma yoga. Therefore, karma yoga is not the means for moksha, but karma yoga becomes an indirect means for moksha. Through preparedness, preparing the mind for jnanam, it becomes a means, indirect means for moksha. It should be very clear. And therefore, what is karma yoga then? What is that which makes all one's actions, yoga, which prepares the mind for knowledge? And there in the previous verse we saw samatvam yogaha. It's one definition. Samatvam yogaha is a very important one. Samatvam means again having or entertaining the sameness of mind, equanimity, being equanimous in all the situations, desirable or undesirable. Because any situation which comes in life is either desirable or undesirable. Understand? So all the pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, success, failure, loss, gain, honor and dishonor, we can go on giving a big list of pairs of opposites. And all these desirable, undesirable situations do occur in life in conformity with our own prarabdha karma, phalam. So whatever comes in life, how do we remain in every situation? How do we remain? How are we in every situation? And here it is said, so remaining the same in all the situations. That means remaining the same in all situations means success does not elate or failure does not depress. Okay, success also, you are the same. In failure also, you are the same. So one does not get elated, one does not get dejected or depressed. The situation is undesirable. This absence of elation or depression and remaining the same in all the situations, you know, is called samatvam. Samatvam. That samatvam also, you know, entertaining this capacity, you know, entertaining this equanimity towards all situations, remaining the same in all situations is samatvam, and the samatvam helps one, you know, prepares the mind for jnanam. For samatvam is yogaha. Therefore, in the previous verse, Krishna said, buddhi yuktaha, in the previous verse he said, yogastaha karmani kuru, sangam tektva dhananjaya, siddhi asiddhyoho samaha bhutva. Siddhihi success, asiddhihi failure, siddhi asiddhyoho samaha bhutva, remaining the same in success and failure. Yogastaha karmani kuru. So yogastaha karmani kuru means what? Remaining steadfast in yoga. What do we mean by remaining steadfast in yoga? Again, it's a meaningless word. Remaining steadfast in yoga. So Shankaracharya gives in his Bhashyam, Ishvara arpana buddhya karma karanameva yoga, no? Yogasthanam. What do we mean by yogastaha? No, remaining steadfast in yoga means doing all one's actions with an attitude of offering it to Ishvara, the universal natural law and order. What do we mean by offering everything to Ishvara? Because offering everything to Ishvara means the life is nothing but full of actions. Every action I do to live this life, ultimately to discover the happiness. Limit happiness is what is happiness? Synonym of other two words, limitlessness and fullness. Limitlessness, fullness and happiness are synonyms. In Sanskritam we have the word anandaha. Understand? So this is to discover this. And this discovery implies, you know, discovery of the reality for which, you know, mind has to be ready. Yogastaha karmani kuru means, therefore discovering swarupam of the reality means reality is manifest as the whole the Lord. Therefore Ishwarartham, not doing the actions for the sake of the Lord, but doing actions with an attitude of offering it to the Lord means I'm doing all my actions ultimately to be prepared for knowledge, for discovering the Swarupam of Bhagavan, the fullness. Understand? Discover the Swarupam of, discover this fullness, the Swarupam of Bhagavan. Therefore, this always one has to remember. I mean, ultimately, I have to choicelessly discover this happiness, limitlessness, fullness, which is this very Swarupam of the reality. Understand? Therefore, once discovering the happiness being the ultimate choiceless end, then all actions I do become offered to Ishvara. We have to understand, because all of it was a big confusion about what do we mean by offering an action to Ishwara, the Lord. Before I do every action, do I need to think? I'm offering it to Bhagavan. You are simply thinking. You can't think of offering all the actions to before every small action. Is it possible for you to think, I'm offering this to Bhagavan. Getting up, I'm offering this to Bhagavan. Shakti, I'm offering this to Bhagavan. Can you do that? It's not possible. So what does it mean? Offering all one's actions to Bhagavan means being very clear. Ultimately, I do anything I do to live this life, and I live this life ultimately to discover the fullness, the happiness, the Swarupam of Ishwara, the reality. Okay, this understanding, doing every action, knowing very well, every karma definitely produces phalam. That karma, the desirable phalam also, the pleasure also is time bound. And the pain also, undesirable phalam, the pain also will be what? Time bound. And I am living this life ultimately to discover the everlasting fullness, happiness, no, limitlessness, the Swarupam of Ishwara. If this understanding is there, then all one's actions become offered to Bhagavan. This is what is doing one's actions with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan. So doing one's actions with an attitude of Bhagavan is called what? Remaining steadfast in yoga. Once you do that way, then anything which comes in life, you take it with sameness of mind. Understand? Why? Because any karma phalam is time bound in nature. It comes and goes. And I'm ultimately doing my actions for Ishwara. And second thing, all the results, all the situations which come in life are predetermined by the natural laws which are Ishwara. Therefore, I'm able to look at all the situations as prasada, as a gift from Bhagavan. Then only it is possible to accept any situation with sameness of mind only if we can look at, relate to the situation as gift of Bhagavan, prasadam from Bhagavan, for which I need to remember, I need to know the subtle fact of results or situations being ordained by natural laws which are Ishwara. Instead, that's why if we don't involve Ishwara into the picture, if we don't understand Ishwara as a universal natural law and order, okay, and if we don't understand Ishwara being manifest as the natural laws, then there's no karma yoga. There's no understanding of karma yoga. Minus Ishwara, there's no karma yoga. Understand? There's no karma yoga without Ishwara. How, what is karma yoga? Yoga, samattam yoga uchyate means what? No, being able to take everything with sameness of mind, not to get elated, not to get depressed and dejected, to remain the same in all situations requires tremendous amount of strength, for which, no, I need to be prayerful and worshipful. And second thing, I should be able to relate to every situation as prasadam. And this prasada buddhihi, okay, attitude of entertaining, an attitude of looking at everything as prasadam, is possible only if I know that every situation is ordained by the natural law. Nobody is responsible, nobody else's action or scheming or planning is responsible for my lot, what I'm going through in my life. And if everything is ordained by natural law, that natural law is non-separate from Ishwara. Everything is Ishwara. Natural law also is Ishwara. Therefore, the law ordained result, the law ordained situation is Lord ordained situation. Therefore, I can look at the situation as prasadam of Bhagavan Ishwara. Then I can accept them with sameness of mind. Understand? Therefore, in doing actions, entertaining the attitude of offering to Bhagavan, in accepting situations, sameness of mind, entertaining an attitude of prasadam, of Bhagavan, converts one's actions into yoga. Is it clear? Converts one's actions into yoga. And he, next shloka, is going to say, but one more thing we have to remember here. We are going to see that it is not enough if we simply... Okay, let me finish. Let me go to the next one. And why do we need to have this attitude? Okay, why do we need to have this attitude to convert our actions into yoga? If I don't convert my actions into yoga, if I don't have this attitude in doing my actions and accept the situations with sameness of mind, etc., what will happen? He says, the action without this attitude, action performed without this, these attitudes will be mere karma, will not be yoga. Okay, that is why the same action you are doing, the action you perform with proper attitude becomes yoga. The action performed without these attitudes becomes just the karma, remains the mere karma. So what? Karma produces phalam. Karma yoga also produces phalam, no doubt. But karma yoga liberates. Karma yoga, understand, frees, whereas karma binds. Karma badhnati, karma yogaha mochayati. Karma yoga liberates. How? Through preparing the mind for jnana, through contributing for preparedness of mind for knowledge, karma yoga liberates. Whereas karma does not, mere performance of karma without attitude remains as mere karma, does not become yoga. That means that karma does not contribute for mental preparedness, without which knowledge is not possible. Therefore, it binds. Without knowledge, bondage is continuous. Karma binds. Karma yoga liberates. Please understand this. Whether karma becomes yoga or not, still karma produces phalam, no doubt. If you do the right action, it produces punya phalam. If you do the wrong action, it produces papa phalam. Karma definitely, however, that's why any amount of great service you do to society, it does produce a great lot of punya phalam. Understand? Punya phalam. But it does not liberate. Punya phalam also binds you. Papa phalam also binds you. Punya phalam also has to be exhausted. Papa phalam also has to be exhausted. In terms of going through pleasure and pain. If you have only punya phalam, you have to exhaust your punya phalam in the form of going through pleasures, enjoying pleasures. Therefore, punyam papam both produce phalam. Any karma produces phalam. It only binds. Punya karma phalam also, you know, karma phalam, punyam binds, papam also binds. But karma yoga liberates. How? Through contributing for mental preparedness, required for jnanam, preparing the mind for jnanam, helping you accomplish jnanam, okay, gain jnanam, attain jnanam, it liberates. Whereas karma performed without these attitudes, without Isharpana Buddhihi, is not simply having it. So you should understand, what do we mean by entertaining Isharpana Buddhihi? What do we mean by entertaining Ishvara Prasada Buddhihi? Understand? And what is understanding one requires to have these attitudes? Isharpana Buddhihi and Prasada Buddhihi. And with this attitude, when you perform the karma, and when you remain the same in all situations, then it becomes, karma becomes karma yoga. Karma yoga liberates. Is it clear? This has been said in the earlier verses. Therefore, the 49th verse, he talks about the greatness of karma yoga And he says how karma is inferior, karma yoga is superior. Why karma yoga is superior? Karma yoga liberates. Why karma is inferior? Because karma binds. Karma performed without these attitudes becomes mere karma, the binding karma. Understand? Karma performed these attitudes, even if it produces phalam, but still it contributes for mental preparedness, thereby it liberates. He says, Durena hyavaram karma. Hyavaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya, buddhi yoga dhananjaya, buddho sharanaman vichcha, buddho sharanaman vichcha, krupana phalahetavaha, krupana phalahetavaha. See, Durena hi avaram karma. Karma Durena avaram. The word duram literally it means distance. Far. No? Far. But Durena avaram means it is avaram. Varam means superior. Avaram means inferior. Varam avaram. No? Though this, he says, karma durena avaram. He indeed, karma means what here? The mere performance of karma without entertaining this proper attitude of offering one's actions to Ishvara, the Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, without entertaining this attitude of accepting or looking at every situation with the sameness of mind as prasada, okay? As prasada buddhihi, then that karma is only karma. It does not become karma yoga. The karma in far is, the mere karma is far inferior to what? Buddhi yoga. To karma yoga. Buddhi yoga is another word for karma yoga. Please remember, buddhi yoga is equal to karma yoga. Why do we say this buddhi yoga, karma, another word for buddhi, for karma yoga, we have another word. What is karma buddhi yoga? Karma yoga, buddhi yoga mean the same. Because attitude, now buddhi here means the attitude with which the karma is performed converts that karma into yoga. Therefore, is what is known as buddhi yoga also. And second thing, one has to use one's free will to choose to do the right action, which is also buddhi. Okay, we are all blessed with the knowledge of values, blessed with the common sense of, you know, ethics. We all of us know what is right and what is wrong, how, what others should do to us, what others should not do to us, we know very well. Therefore, we need not be taught what the values are. Therefore, we have the knowledge. All of us are buddhimantaha. Buddhimandaha, okay? Buddhiman means what? One who is endowed with the buddhi, buddhi shaktihi is what? Buddhiman. We are all buddhimatyaha, buddhimantaha. Buddhimandaha means what? Manda means dull-minded, okay? Okay, buddhimantaha means we are all endowed with buddhi. What buddhi? We have in buddhi, we have knowledge of values. We know what is right, what is wrong. How others should behave with us, what others should do to us, what others should not do to us, we know very well. We not be taught values. Second thing, we are also blessed with the capacity to choose to do a given action. Kartumva, akartumva, anyathava kartum. You can choose to come to the class, you could have stayed at home, or could have gone elsewhere, you had all choice. You have the freedom to choose to do a given action. That is called willpower. That is also called buddhi shaktihi. Understand? So knowledge of values is buddhihi, and willpower also is called buddhihi here. And in which you have to use both. You have to use your knowledge of values. Therefore you know what is right and what is wrong before you act. And because you are blessed with the free will, you can choose to do the right action and avoid the wrong action. Understand? Thereby, this is also very important for mental purity. Because without living a life of dharma, mental purity is impossible. That is why it's also buddhi has to be used. One has to have attitude, proper attitude in performing actions. One has to have proper attitude in accepting situations of life with understanding of Ishvara. Understand? Second thing, one has to also use one's free will to do the right action always, to refrain from the wrong actions. And one has to use the knowledge of values which Bhagavan has already blessed you with. Understand? Bhagavan has blessed us with what? The knowledge of values. If we use that knowledge, then we can always choose to do the right, we can avoid the wrong. We have the buddhi, knowledge, but in spite of being endowed with knowledge of right and wrong, still we choose to do the wrong sometimes. Understand? We go against dharma sometimes. Like Duryodhana said, Janami dharmam, nachame nivritti. Okay, Janami dharmam, nachame pravritti. I know what dharma is all about very well, but I'm not able to follow dharma. Janami adharmam, I know what adharma is all about, but nachame nivritti, I'm not able to give up. Understand? Why? Because I know very well. Like that, in spite, the knowledge is there. If we use that buddhi, that knowledge which you are blessed with, then you can always, if you use the knowledge which you are already blessed with, then you can choose to do the right, avoid the wrong. That is why karma yoga said to be also what? Buddhi yoga. Is it clear? Then, this karma yoga, buddhi yoga means karma yoga. He Dhananjaya, he Arjuna, mere performance of karma with a proper attitude is far inferior to the karma performed with proper attitude, which converts the karma into yoga. Is it clear? Why it is superior? He says there. Because we are going to see later on. Why it is superior? Buddhi yoga, karma yoga contributes for the mental preparedness in terms of antakarna shuddhi, mental purity and mental steadiness. Thereby, it prepares the mind for jnanam. Thereby, it liberates you. Therefore, it is superior. Whereas karma, performed without these attitudes, cannot contribute for mental preparedness. Cannot contribute for mental purity and mental steadiness. Therefore, it can produce the phalam, but it cannot contribute for mental purity and steadiness. Therefore, it only binds. Karma binds, karma yoga contributes for, indirectly serves as means for moksha. Therefore, karma yoga is superior to karma. Understand? Karma is far inferior to karma yoga. Understand? Okay. Therefore, he Krishna, he says, buddhau sharanam anvicha. Sharanam anvicha means, may you take refuge. Okay? May you take sharanam. May you take refuge means what? May you be given to a life of karma yoga. Buddho sharanam anvicha means karma yogam sharanam gacha. That means what? Be committed to live a life of karma yoga. Buddho sharanam anvicha. Don't take the meaning literally. Okay? Buddho sharanam anvicha means there's no other way. Understand. Okay, what is being endowed with Isharpana buddhihi, understand what is being endowed with prasada buddhi, Ishar prasada buddhihi, then try to have these attitudes, okay, properly, these proper attitudes, thereby be committed to live a life of karma yoga. No other go. No other way. How are you going to get yourself qualified, eligible for jnana? This is only way. Na anya pantha ayanaya vidyate. And I said, there's no other shortcut method. This is the way. That is why we say the eternal way of life. Sanatanaha dharmaha. Why we say here? Because the eternal way of life means this way of life, the karma dharma governed life, okay, the life is applicable, appreciable, acceptable for any time or for any, you know, people of any place and time. So here, Buddha Sharanam Anvicha. And he says, Palahetavaha Krupanaha. Palahetavaha means what? People who are not karma yogis, okay, if people do karma without proper attitude, then their karma becomes what? Mere karma. But mean, if people are not karma yogis, definitely they're attached to their results of actions. The people who are attached to the results of actions, and they'll also think they are the authors. Okay, I am responsible for, I worked hard, I did this. When people say this, because they are attached to karma phalam, and they also own up the karma, that means they think they are the authors of the results of actions. And such people are palahetavaha, and they are krupanaha. Okay, the people who are not karma yogis, who are attached, they will be attached to results of actions, fruits of actions. And people attached to fruits of actions will mistake themselves for the authors of the fruits of actions. And such people are krupanaha, means, krupanaha means stingy miser. Okay? Krupanaha means what? Stingy person, miser, who does not spend anything. Okay? For any important, anything he doesn't spend. The one who cannot part with his money, he's a stingy person, miser. But here Bhagavan says, the one who does not use his buddhi, okay, he has buddhi, but he doesn't use it. Therefore, he is also krupanaha. One who does not spend money alone is krupanaha, generally. But here, one who does not use the buddhi, see, at least it's not the money you have, you hard-earned money you have to spend, then you can be stingy. But here Bhagavan has blessed you with the buddhi. If you use it, it's not going to become less also. Understand? That's why you can generously use it. Therefore, one who does not use one's common sense, which Bhagavan has blessed you with the natural as a human being, only human being alone is blessed with this knowledge of values. Human being alone is blessed with this special, this faculty of choice, the free will, the willpower to choose to do an action. Therefore, human being alone can use it. In spite of being blessed with this buddhi shaktihi, the capacity to choose to do a given action, the free will and the knowledge of values, still one does not do the right action, one does not choose to do the right action, or does not avoid the wrong action, one does not entertain this attitude of offering to Bhagavan, etc. And then, naturally, one who does not use his buddhi is a krupanaha. Okay, they will continue to be bound. They cannot attain moksha. Is it clear? That's why krupana palahetavaha means akarma yoginaha. Okay, karma yoginaha. I can say that. That means what? They do karma, but their karma is not yoga. Is it clear? Okay. I want to do the next verse also. Then I can do the bhashya for both. Why? Because the next verse also talks about karma yoga. If we finish the topic, then I can... 51 also is karma yoga only. But still, that's a karma yoga phalam. The fruit of living a life of karma yoga. Again, the greatness of karma yoga, the phalam of living a life of karma yoga is explained in the 51st verse. So he says here, buddhi yukto, I'll read both verses and I'll do the bhashyam together. Okay, buddhi yukto jahati ha, buddhi yukto jahati ha, ubhe sukruta duskrute, ubhe sukruta duskrute, tasmad yogaya yujyasva,
tasmad
yogaya yujyasva, yoga karmasu kaushalam, yoga karmasu kaushalam, बुद्धियुक्तो जहातीह बुद्धियुक्तो जहातीह उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते तस्माद्योगाय युज्यस्व
तस्माद्योगाय
युज्यस्व योगः कर्मसु कौशलम्
योगः कर्मसु कौशलम्
ओके वै वन् शुड् बि गिवन् टु दि लैफ् आफ् कर्मयोग इस् एक्स्प्लेन्ड् इन् दि 49th वर्स् The 59th verse again explains what is that, how karma becomes yoga. Okay, and here the attitudes have been emphasized in the previous verse. The 48th verse, Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi and Ishvara Prasada Buddhihi have been emphasized in the 48th verse. In the 58th verse, the value of values is emphasized. Okay, which makes a karma into yoga, converts the karma into yoga. He says, buddhi yuktaha, look at this, buddhi yuktaha jahati. Buddhi yuktaha means what? One who is endowed with buddhi, everybody is endowed with buddhi, understand? So buddhi yuktaha means Karma Yoga Buddhi Yuktaha. Understand? One who lives a life of Karma Yoga is Buddhi Yuktaha here. Literally, Buddhi Yuktaha literally means one who is endowed with Buddhi. But here we have to understand, one who lives a life of Karma Yoga, one who is committed to live a life of Karma Yoga. See, it's very, very difficult to be committed to live a lifestyle. Okay, live a life of Karma Yoga. Commitment to live a life of Karma Yoga is possible only if one knows the value of living a life of Karma Yoga, which implies one being very clear about one's ultimate choiceless end being Mokshaha, which is in the form of knowledge of the reality, and that knowledge of reality needs what? Is dependent on the prerequisite qualification. Understand? For which, in the form of Antahkarna Shuddhihi and Naishchalyam, for which living a life of Karma Yoga is the only way. Okay, this is the way. The way. There is no other way. That is why we don't need to say the many paths which lead to moksha, which lead to the same goal. What is the same goal? What is the goal? Is there any other, are there many other goals? And the many other goals? Now tell me, how many goals are there?
One.
Understand? You want to be peaceful. You want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. Happiness is the ultimate goal. And that's why artha, kama, dharma, they're all important. They're all nothing to be ignored. Nothing is unimportant. But know the limitations. Through artha, kama, dharma, so non-pursuit of artha, kama, dharma will not help you attain moksha. Pursuit of artha, kama, dharma also is not enough for moksha. Understand? Therefore, artha, kama, dharma, artha and kama have to be pursued in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. This has to be understood. That is what we say here. So, buddhi yuktaha means also only then one can become committed to live a life of karma yoga. Commitment is very important. Without commitment, nothing will happen. Commitment, that's why buddhi yuktaha means the one who is committed to live a life of karma yoga is buddhi yuktaha. Such a person lives a life of karma yoga, okay, then jahati, no, jahati what now? Becomes free. From what? Where? When? Iha. In this life, while living this life, present life here now in this life itself. He becomes free from what? Ubhe, both. Both what? Sukrita, duskrute. Both punyam and papam. See, karma produces only two types of fruits, okay? Knowingly done, unknowingly done, intentionally done, unintentionally done, However you have done the karma, that karma can produce only two types of phalam. Whatever, because there are two types of actions. Okay? Action which transgresses to dharma, action which is in conformity with dharma. What can it produce? Punyam and papam. Okay? Dharma, so we say, dharma transgressed action produces papam. So karma performed in conformity with dharma produces punyam. Punyam comes in the form of pleasure, papam comes in the form of pain. These are two types of results. That's why sukritam and dushkritam. Sukritam means what? Punya karma phalam. Dushkritam is what? Papa phalam. Whereas this person who lives a karma life of karma yoga definitely becomes, see, look at this. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says how much he emphasizes karma yoga here. The person who is committed to live a life of karma yoga definitely becomes free from both punyam and papam. That means he becomes free from, how does he become free from both punyam and papam? If somebody lives a life of karma yoga, how does he become? Not immediately, in due course of life. Okay, later on, definitely, if you commit yourself to live a life of karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga will take care of your jnanam. Your jnanam is definite for you. Because you become mentally pure and steady, which will prepare you, which will result in contemplative disposition required for jnanam, which will result in enhanced clarity, thereby definitely you will be free from punyam and papam. That means you will discover happiness. Understand? That is the meaning. Therefore, the one who does not live a life of karma yoga will be definitely bound. That's also understood. One who lives a life of karma yoga will be liberated, and one who does not live a life of karma yoga definitely will be bound, will continue to be bound. Is it clear? Therefore he says, tasmat, therefore, yogaya yujyasva. Now, therefore, yoga yujyasva, therefore, may you try to commit yourself to live a life of karma yoga. May you be a karma yogi. You fit yourself, okay? In yoga means what? What is it? Befitting yourself in yoga. What does it mean? May you live a life of karma yoga. Therefore, yogaya yujyasva. Yujyasva should always go with the fourth case. That's why yogaya yujyasva. Fix yourself with karma. Yoga means what? May you live a life of karma yoga. Because karma yoga definitely liberates from punyam and papam. How? By preparing the mind for jnanam, by blessing you with jnanam, it will help you discover happiness. It will free you from both punyam and papam. Once you discover happiness, discovering happiness is discovering limitlessness and discovering fullness. Understand? See, discovering the reality, the truth of the mind. Why I use the word discovery? You know that? Because the wave can never be without the water. The wave, the very existence of wave is in the water. Similarly, mind is never away from consciousness. Mind very exists in consciousness, in awareness. Understand? There is never is the buddhi, never is your knowledge, never is your emotion, never is any of your thoughts, never is your mind away from consciousness. Never. Whether the mind is active or inactive or passive, mind is asleep, mind is dreaming, a mind is awake, always its existence is not outside of awareness. It's there, very much it exists in awareness. And this mind, which exists in awareness, is searching for the awareness. That is why it need, it has to only discover what is already there, which remains covered. And for that, for this mind to discover its own Swarupam, okay, the discover Swarupam of the whole cosmos as its own existence, its own reality, which is of the nature of fullness and happiness, it needs to be pure and steady. Once if the mind discovers its own Swarupam, the fullness and limitlessness and happiness, then what happens is, in discovering what happiness is, in discovering what fullness is, what limitlessness is, the smallness centered on I will be resolved. I am small, that notion goes. All the wrong notions you have about yourself will resolve. The I sense in body mind sense complex will resolve. The smallness will resolve. In discovering limitlessness, smallness will resolve. I can just tell you this much. In discovering fullness and limitlessness, smallness will resolve. That is how you become free from both punyam and papam. You become free from doership. You become free from enjoyership. Understand? Once you become free from doership and enjoyership, you are free from smallness. Understand? And naturally, you are free from both punyam and papam. That is why this is the miracle which happens by jnanam. Without undoing the punya papa, you become free from punya papa. That is the miracle. What is the miracle here? Without exhausting punya papa, you become free from punya papa. Therefore, he says, Ube sukrita dushkrute jahati, iha eva jahati. Therefore, hey Arjuna, may you commit yourself to live a life of karma yoga. Then he says, Yogaha karmasu kaushalam. When you read it as a sentence, statement, we say yogaha is equal to karmasu kaushalam. First I said yogaha is equal to samatvam. Here I say yogaha is equal to what? Karmasu kaushalam. When you read it as together, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Why? Because visargaha followed by ka or ka becomes what? Jihva muliyam. So, yoga karmasu kaushalam. We can say yoga karmasu kaushalam. So, karmasu kaushalam means what? The word kaushalam. If you say, in India, we always use the word kushalaha. See, kushalaha means clever. Clever, smart. Kushalaha balaha. Kushala balika, clever boy, smart boy, a clever girl, smart girl, kushalaha, kushala. So, kaushalam is a noun of kushala. That means cleverness. So, we can say skill. So, literally the word kaushala means skill. Kushalaha is the skilled. Kaushalam is what? Skill. And then kushalaha is efficient. Kaushalam is efficiency. Kushalaha is expert. Kaushalam is expertise. And kushalaha is perfect. And kaushalam is perfection. See, we have all these words. Perfection, efficiency, skill. All these words we use. So we can say karmasu means in actions. When you perform a given action, in your action, if you express your skill, if you do it perfectly well, do it efficiently, then that karma becomes yoga. That's the literal meaning people say. Okay, efficiency in action is yoga. Perfection in action is yoga. Skill in action is yoga. They say all that. Understand? See, why? Because to be most, to express all efficiency in a given action, you must be more focused. The more focused in your action, the more efficient, the more of your efficiency can be expressed. the more focused you are in your action, more perfectly you can do it. The more focused you are, you can express all your more of your skill in your actions. That's why they say all these things. Because any performing any karma with focused attention or doing anything attentively is also important. That's okay. But still one more thing we are missing. Kaushalam also means discretion in action. Okay? So it's not mere perfection, it's not mere skill, it's not mere efficiency in action becomes yoga. Our Swamiji used to say, every pickpocketer is highly skilled person. Understand? And every dacoit who goes and breaks the door, the locks, and then goes and robs things, and he is highly efficient. Understand? And then every thief and every thief also becomes a yogi, karma yogi then. Therefore, it's not mere efficiency, it is not mere perfection in action. It's not mere skill in action is yoga. Discretion in action is yoga. What is discretion? I told you earlier. Bhagavan has blessed every human mind with the knowledge of values. Common sense. Ethics. Born ethics. You are blessed with the knowledge of values. You are blessed with the free will. Therefore, before you do any action, you can see whether your action, in order to fulfill your desire, because you can't undo your desire, you can't suppress your desire. Every action you do is nothing but the pressure, impelled by your own desire. Therefore, the desire-impelled action, you have no control over your desire. You have no say over your desire. You can't undo or suppress your desire, but you can manage your desire. Understand? You can't undo or suppress your desire. You can manage your desire. How can you manage your desire? Because when the action causes pressure, it impels you to a given action. Before doing the action, you can use your willpower. You can use your buddhi shakti. You can use your knowledge of values. See whether that action which you have to do to fulfill a given desire is in conformity with dharma or not. Then once you will know whether you have to do righteous action or you have to go against dharma, non-righteous thing, once you know. Then if you are aware of what you are doing, you are conscious of what you are doing, definitely, if it is the right action, you can go ahead with that action and you can fulfill your desire. Or if it is that action is not in conformity with dharma, then you can use your will. Then you can refrain yourself from doing wrong action. This is what you say, discretion in action. Whether the action I have to do not to fulfill this given desire is right or wrong. Okay, once you have this discretion and do the right, whether you like it or not, if it is right, you will do it. If it is wrong, you refrain from that. That means your actions do not go by your whims and fancies, do not go by your likes and dislikes. Your actions go by your knowledge of right and wrong. Understand? This is what doing one's actions. Then you will fulfill your desires, but you may also drop some desires, ignore some desires, which implies you are managing your desires. So this is what managing one's desires is, in fact, managing one's mind, which is said to be self-management. Understand? That is possible only if you have this Purushartha Nischaya. Understand? Therefore, yoga karmasu kaushalam yogaha means what? Whether you do your actions skillfully, efficiently, perfectly or not. Unless you have discretion action and you try to do the right action, avoid the wrong action, that action does not become yoga. Therefore, discretion action converts your action into yoga. Understand? That means discretion action will help you not to transgress dharma. Why you should have discretion action? Because discretion action will prevent me from doing the wrong. Will help me refrain from the wrong. Will help me do the right. Therefore, who is the one who can have discretion action? One who knows the value of values. Value of dharma. Who is the one who knows the value of dharma? The one who knows the importance of being endowed with pure and steady mind. Unless you live a life of dharma, unless you live a life of values, unless you do all your actions consciously in conformity with dharma, there is no way of becoming mentally pure. So antahkarna shuddhihi, you cannot think of without living a life of dharma. Okay? That's why dharma is very, very important. Understand? Living a life of values alone will help you have antahkarna shuddhi, without which knowledge is impossible, without which moksha will ever be covered, will never be discovered. Understand? That's why we say here that antahkarna shuddhyartham, one has to live a life of dharma, and which means one should have discretion in action. Therefore, yogaha karmasu kaushalam yogaha. So having discretion in action is yoga, means having discretion in action, thereby choosing to do the right, avoiding the wrong, also converts the action into yoga. Understand? Therefore he says here, now you remember these three things. So 38, 48, 49, 50, and also 51, all these verses, three things you have to remember. So dharma, the value of values, Ishwarpana buddhihi and prasada buddhihi. Understand? These three things alone convert your action into yoga. The karma yogi is committed to live a life of dharma. A karma yogi definitely entertains the attitude of offering all his actions to Ishvara, Ishwarpana buddhihi, and karma yogi looks at every situation with the sameness of mind as Ishvara, Lord's prasadam. Ishvara prasada buddhihi he entertains. These attitudes and his commitment to dharma converts one's actions into yoga. Therefore, yogaha, remember these two words, yogaha, samattam yogaha, then karmasu kaushalam yogaha. So kaushalam here implies discretion in action. Therefore he says, tasmad yoga yujyasva buddhi yuktaha. Therefore the one who is committed to live a life of dharma, knowing the value of dharma, one who has discretion in action, thereby using his free will, chooses to do the right action, avoid the wrong action, okay, and then entertains the attitude of offering all his actions to Ishvara with Isharpana buddhihi, and looks at every situation, accepts every situation with sameness of mind, as looking at it as prasada, entertaining this prasada buddhi, Ishvara prasada buddhihi, such a person is a karma yogi, and that karma yogi, yiha, in this life itself, ubhe, both sukrita dushkrute jahati, he becomes free from both punyam and papam. He attains jivan muktihi. He becomes liberated while living. Doesn't need to die and go somewhere to know what moksha is. No journey is important. No, doesn't need to travel anywhere. Doesn't need to go anywhere. Here itself he becomes free. Okay, no judgment, nothing. Directly he liberated here itself. No, but who is going to judge? Who is that sitting other than you to judge? Understand? Your own mind will be pricking. That's will be pricking all the time. That's why there's no judgment. There's nobody is to punish you. There's nobody is to bless you. Understand? Once this is understood, you discover freedom right now here. All that you need to do is discover that reality, discover that happiness for which prepare your mind. Why? Happiness is hiding. Understand? It is hidden. Playing hide and seek game. That is why it means not elsewhere. Understand? It has to be discovered on its own mind. That's why. That is why mental preparedness is very important. If it is elsewhere, I tell you, even being an adharmi also, you can do something, discover somewhere else. It is not anywhere. Happiness has to be discovered as the swarupam of the reality, which is very pure awareness, understand? Pure consciousness, which is not outside of the mind. In fact, which is there as the very existence of the mind. That is why mind has to be prepared. That is why mind has to become free from agitations and steady, and for which you need to work. So you don't need to work for moksha. You don't need to work for jnanam. Jnanam, okay, be very, very easy. Moksha is very, very easy to accomplish. What you need to work for is, you need to work for this mental purity and steadiness, and which is impossible without living a life of dharma, without committing oneself to live a life of karma yoga, a dharma governed life. Is it clear? That has been made very clear. Oh, time. Okay, I had to do the Bhashyam for all the three verses. Did I do the Bhashyam for 48?
Yes, 48.
Okay, we will complete. I do the Bhashyam again in the next class. Because why I wanted to do this, with the 51st verse, the Karma Yoga topic comes to an end. Okay, read it. Karma jam buddhi yukta. But whatever has been said in the Bhashyam, I explained to you already. One thing, I did not read out the Bhashyam. Again, next week I'll come back and read it out. Karma jam buddhi yukta hi phalam tyaktva maneshinah janma bandha vinirmuktah padam gacchantya namayam. Okay. He says, buddhi yuktaha, you have to take the first word, buddhi yuktaha, again, those who are endowed with karma yoga buddhi. Those who are endowed with means those who are endowed with proper attitude. Buddhi yuktaha here means those who are endowed with proper attitude. Those who are endowed with proper attitude means what? Those who are committed to live a life of karma yoga. What proper attitude? Ishwarpana buddhihi, Ishwara prasada buddhihi, and commitment to live a life of dharma. Okay, it's there, then they are buddhiyuktaha. So those who are endowed with the proper attitude, those who have proper attitude, those who are committed to live a life of karma yoga, buddhiyuktaha, he indeed. Who are buddhiyuktaha? Manishinaha. Manishinaha means discriminate people. Okay, manishinaha means discriminate people. So, who are the discriminate people here? We can say, you know, such people, palam tektva. Palam tektva means what now? Becoming free from, you know, the enjoyment of fruits. Palam tektva means not giving up the fruit. They don't give up any fruit here. Palam tektva means becoming free from the enjoyment of fruits, of actions. Palam tektva, giving up both punyam and papam. Becoming free from both punyam and papam. This palam produced by what? Karmajam. Karmajam palam tektva. Okay, giving up the fruit of actions. Fruit produced by the actions. Becoming free from the enjoyment of both punyam and papam, produced as result now by this karma. Produced by karma. He says, what happens? Vinirmuktaha, janma bandha vinirmuktaha bhavanti. Vinirmuktaha, muktaha means they become free. How they become free? Nirmuktaha, vinirmukta, they become free for good. From what? Janma bandha. They become free from bondage of, life of the cycle of births and deaths. Janma bandha. Become free from bondage of birth and death. For good. They become free from this cycle of janma bandha means bondage of karma, bondage of samsara, I can say that. They become free from samsara. Become free from the cycle of, this transmigratory life. Then, anamayam padam gacchanti. Anamayam padam gacchanti means what? They attain moksha. Amayaha means disease, illness, sickness. You know that? Amayaha means vyadhi. Vyadhi. Amayaha means vyadhi. Illness, sickness, disease, ill health, agony, pain, all is anamaya, amayaha. That's why we say sarve santu niramayaha. We say that sarve santu niramayaha. May everyone, may all become free from all pains. We say that. All illness and why niramayaha. Amayaha means pain, agony, vyadhi, rogaha, disease, sickness, ill health. That is what is, we say amayaha. Niramayam pada means what? They attain. Niramayam pada means atma is ever healthy. Understand? You understand that atma never becomes sick. The sickness belongs to the mind. Consciousness is ever healthy. Ever healthy, but not attacked by any disease or illness. That is why we say here, niramayam padam means, niramayaha padam is only, niramayam padam means the moksha. Anything which once you attain something, and you have anything which is attained subject to go away. Anything attained, anything achieved, anything gained, anything obtained is subject to go away. Understand? Therefore, when anything which you obtain, when it goes away, it will cause pain. But this moksha, once attained, will never go away. No way, it's one's own sarupam. You will never go away from you. Understand? You will always be yourself. Therefore, moksha happens to be your own sarupam. It will always be there, everlasting. Therefore, anamayam padam gacchanti, where they attain moksha. Anamayam padam is moksha, everlasting happiness, gaining which one does not lose, which will always be there, in discovering which one becomes free from both punyam and papam. Anamayam padam gacchanti. This is not enough. I want to say, with that I want to end this topic of Karma Yoga. But I have to explain the Bhashyam of all the three verses together next class. Because I won't waste time much. Next time I can do fast. Is it clear? Because all connected. That is why I want to finish that. So here he emphasizes, see what proof you want. Krishna, Bhagavan, Krishna himself. Even though you used the word Krishna as he and all that, as a teacher, as a sampradaya teacher, Krishna himself says here, Karma Yoga liberates. Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yuktaha means Karma Yoginaha. Those who have this, entertain this proper attitude, such people, what happens? Janma bandha vinirmuktaha bhavanti. Definitely they become free from this bondage of karma. And anamayam padam gacchanti. Anamayam padam gacchanti. They attain the state where there is no pain or no disease, no illness. Anamayam padam gacchanti. To janma bandha vinirmuktaha anamayam padam gacchanti. Becoming free from bondage, they attain moksha. That means for good they become free from this problem for good. That is why vinirmuktaha. Muktaha bhavanti would have been enough. why he uses two more prefixes, nirmuktaha bhavanti, vi nirmuktaha bhavanti. That means they become free from bondage for good. Again they have not become bound. That is the meaning. Okay, anamayam padam gacchanti. That means this only talks about the phalam of living a life of karma yoga. This emphasis is living a life of karma yoga definitely results in mokshaha, liberation. Results in jnanam, thereby results in moksha. There is no doubt. And he says, and manishinaha phalam tyaktva, karmajam phalam tyaktva, manishinaha bhutva, also Shankara says here, because those who are committed to live a life of karma yoga, now in due course of time become free from all punya papas. Means how? They become free from enjoyership, they become free from doership, thereby they become free from punya papa. How do they become free from punya papa? Without exhausting, see, without repaying your debts, and you become free from debts. How is it possible? Because punya papas, you become free from doership and enjoyership. Thereby you become free from punya papa. How do you become free from doership and enjoyership? Becoming free from the notion that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer. How do you become free from the notion that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer? By, understand? Because by giving up the I sense and the body mind complex. By shifting the I sense, okay, from body mentions complex to consciousness, one becomes free from punya papas. Is it okay? I'm a little fast, a little conscious of time, so I want to. Anyway, I have not completed this 51st verse. I want to just introduce the verse, just to make it complete. And next week, we will see the bhashyam of all the three verses, and we'll continue with that. And I think we'll be stopping and 54th onwards, the beautiful verses on jnani comes. Sthita prajna. The sthita prajna means what? And you will understand the concept of dawning of knowledge. There's a big confusion about it. People think enlightenment, no, ascertained vision means one fine day, some experience will happen, something will happen, and something has to suddenly happen. Okay? And some experience they want. Something has to become suddenly differently, then that is what they think. Therefore, the concept of knowledge also become very clear. Okay? We'll see that. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishtate.